Abraham died, God personally revealed to Isaac and said, Isaac, he was in a time of famine. Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt. And talk about the covenant he had now made with David, Isaac. Later on, when Isaac was old and the blessing passed on, Jacob, who received the birthright, had to have a personal covenant with God. While at a place called Bethel, as he was running away from Esau, with only a stone for his pillow, he saw the vision of the angels going up and down the stairs and the ladder. And he made a covenant with God. So the same covenant, it was the Abrahamic covenant passed on. That same covenant had to be renewed. When Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he did it because in Exodus it says God remembered his covenant. So it was because of the covenant that God was doing all those things. Yet when they came out in the book of Exodus chapter 24, they renewed and cut a fresh covenant. See, a covenant must be renewed to each different generation. And renewed in the sense that it's our choice. And we are sort of dedicating ourselves to that covenant, expressing it. It's just like this truth, like we cannot accept Christ for our children. Our children must come to the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. God doesn't have grandsons in heaven. He only has sons and daughters. Just like my parents cannot accept Christ for me, I have to come to personal knowledge of Jesus. Now my parents, if they are believers, can pass on to me the influences, the principles, the guidance, the commandments that will draw me towards Christ. But in the end, I personally must know Him. So in that sense, or what I call a renewal, personal renewal, a personal relationship. So the Abrahamic covenant was always renewed. Now it came to David's turn. And God was like renewing to David. And David was cutting a fresh covenant with God. And when God renews a covenant, He makes it personal. He said, David, I will personally bless you and your family, so that always there will be someone of your descendants seated on the throne. It will not be like King Saul where he's removed. You will always have somebody on the throne. Now that to me is a very personal blessing. It referred to David's life so that David felt so humble. He came to God and said, God, thank you. I don't deserve all these things. And yet you have promised me an heir forever. What I want you to know is how David reached that third area, that special personal relationship and covenant with God. You can see from 17 verse 1, he was someone who was as the deer that panteth after the living streams. He was someone who wanted to do more for God. See, David wanted to do something more for God. Even though it was not his responsibility. He wanted to do something more for God. It's just like some of us may determine that, for example, America is not our responsibility. The Christians there, or this is not our responsibility. Or you could be an evangelist and not a prophet. You say, oh, prophets are a responsibility and not evangelist's responsibility. And you sort of, just take your small little circle. But in a sense, because the body of Christ is one and we are related to one another in the spirit realm, when we become like David and say, God, I want to do more to help prophets even though I'm not a prophet. I want to do more to help evangelists even though I'm not an evangelist. Or, Lord, I'm not in a full-time ministry. I want to do more to help the full-time ministry. Or those in the full-time ministry say, Lord, I'm not in the business world, but I want to do more to help the people who are out there in the business world. When you're someone who wants to do more, even though it's beyond your responsibility and jurisdiction. But the desire of your heart is to do more, to be a greater blessing, to glorify God more. God would come right there and add more blessings to your life. That's how you could extend the umbrella of God's blessings on your life. How to unlatch the limits that have been set on your life is in your desire. When you desire more. Now, God stopped David from building the temple, but God gave him the blessings as if he had built the temple. It's powerful. And that's how David moved into that personal relationship with God. So these three areas are vitally important. Just like Moses led the people into, right up to the new covenant area, the covenant in chapter Exodus 24, David was led under this covenant in chapter 17, the Davidic covenant. It is because of the Davidic covenant that Jesus Christ of Nazareth came to fulfill. He was the son of Abraham, the son of David. Look over at the Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Only two guys. Do you notice in verse 1? Matthew 1, verse 1. Of all the people who have walked with God, only these two guys are mentioned. Now, after the whole list is given, but Jesus' title is known as the son of Abraham and the son of David because they were these two persons who had important covenant relationship with God. Abraham, who walked with God and cut a covenant with God, and David, who made a covenant with God and who loved God. Both at different time spans. How important that Davidic covenant is in the New Testament. And we receive a part of those blessings. Now, as we continue in the book of Chronicles, you notice, after he has established these three things, the delegated presence, the personal presence, and the third one, the covenant, the special presence. Special presence. See, David received a special blessings. You see, are there such a thing as special things? You read in Acts 19 that God worked through the hands of the Apostle Paul special miracles. See, there is such a thing as specials. When you reach a certain stage of covenant relationship with God, you move into the special. Specials. You know, just like, you know, in the natural world, they have that all the time. Like, certain banks have it, you know, they have a special check-in counter for certain accounts, and then those accounts over $100,000, you have a special treatment and all these things, you know. I think Citibank has that, right? I don't have that much money in the bank, but I saw it and I say, wow, they really know in the natural how to do that. And in a world you have that, you have this exclusive club that costs your whole life saving to get into it, you know, all just to go there for a swim, right? And or this cheap economical club, you know, that everybody has. So sometimes people join clubs not because they want to go for a swim, but it's because of the exclusivity that they feel, or they feel very important, right? They don't realize that they're in a king's club, right? Which is very hard to get in. Somebody has to die to let you in. The blood of Jesus Christ. And so these are the things of the world, and people will keep pursuing, which are not really important as far as God is concerned. And I have to be careful in what I say, because someone who owns a club may be here, you know, say, hey brother, you're talking about my business there, right? Preacher's life is not that easy, right? You got all kinds, right? On the other hand, you got the other group who say, come on, brother, come on, knock them off, right? You know, these are all wasting money. So you got two groups there. preacher's life is not easy, right? So you got to just preach the word, right? And let them do the interpretation. But all these things are there out there. In the world, they have these specials and this special treatment and all these things, etc. And like Raffles class and first class and business class and what else class they may come up with, right? And in God, there is such a thing as walking into such a relationship with God that you enter into, since you're in Singapore, Raffles class, right? See, is there a Raffles class in your flight home in God, in your spiritual airplane? There is. Do you know Moses entered into Raffles class? In the book of Numbers, right? Praise the Lord. Numbers. Turn to the book of Numbers. I call it the special presence. Numbers. Chapter 12. When Miriam and Aaron were angry at Moses for some personal matter, in verse 6, God says something that is very strange and very hard to comprehend. God seemed to put Moses above the normal prophets. You read carefully. Any normal person who reads English should see that he is putting Moses above normal prophets. In verse 6, he's saying, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. You read carefully, it looks as if Moses have gone into Raffles class. Now the thing about it is here. Some people will start screaming, unfair, unfair, unfair. Right? In the world, they get into all those classes through finances. Because the world is built around finances and money. In the Lord, it is built around your faithfulness. Didn't the word say that those who are faithful and righteous in God, the death of his saints are precious in the sight of God? Now, doesn't that tell you that those are Raffles class dying for him? They are precious. They are more precious than those who don't live right with him. That is why God brings vengeance when his precious, precious ones die and shed their blood for him. We're not talking about ordinary blood. We're talking about righteous blood in God. The blood of his martyrs. We're not talking about people who cause problems because of sin or wrongdoing in their lives. But we are talking about people who walk like Jesus Christ, who are holy and blameless, and who shed their blood. The death of his saints like that are precious to God, because they are in a different class. And the thing about this fairness is this: it is open to everyone who is willing to pay the price. It is not an exclusive club that is by invitation only. In this club that God has, called the special presence, the invitation is sent to everybody. And secondly, everybody can afford it. Whether they want to pay it is different. In the world, not everybody can afford. Not everybody can afford. But in God's club, number one, the invitation is to everybody. Number two, everybody can afford it. Why? Because God doesn't judge by how much you pay. He judges by the percentage you pay. Which is very fair. What other fairer system? It's a good thing he didn't specify how much to pay him each month. Some of us will be finished. But he said, just the tithe. Isn't he fair? So that if you earn $1, you only owe him 10 cents?